I've had Joni Pacheco.
Any bond today? Bond to freedom, that's what I'm selling. Any bond?
Pittsburgh and.
This is basic civil defense information from the department.
And graduate of...
Speeding along the highways or riding the trains and skyways. Listen wherever you are. We bring you good news.
Buddy, I don't think that's going to work. And even if it does, I don't want to see it. But No, that's not going to work. It's not really the kind of place the diner is. You know, this is your first time here? Yeah. Passing through? Right, okay. Well, enjoy yourself. Have some nog. Some people. Guy comes in here. He's got a sprig of mistletoe attached to his belt buckle. As though somebody would be obligated to give it a kiss. You know, it's not like there's a law saying people have to do that. There's no mandatory osculation in the presence of mistletoe statute, okay? Yeah. Well, at least he's sitting at the counter now, facing the counter so the mistletoe can't be seen. So unless somebody is going underneath the counter on their hands and knees with a flashlight looking for mistletoe and the off chance they might want to engage in some socially awkward kissing with a stranger, yeah, that'll happen. Sure it will. Hi, folks. Welcome to the diner. I'm James Lilacs. It's Christmas Eve, and I'm sitting here at my accustomed place at the long boomerang pattern for my counter at the old diner on an old Highway 23. Yes, indeed. And I wish I had grain alcohol, frankly. Would be good. Not because I'm under stress or I have a problem or wanted to drink, but there's the usual holiday tradition of mulled Jubal here at the diner. Now, Jubal is a soft drink discontinued in the 40s. It is an acquired taste in any circumstance, but mulled Jubal, when you add all the mulling spices, it just transmogrifies into something else, and it really needs a bump. Really needs somebody to walk over with a flask and empty it into the pitcher. I don't care what. Grain alcohol, you know, Thunderbird, whatever. Something to just take your mind off the mulling. But it's complimentary, and we've all got some of that. So the warm aroma of mulled Jubal has filled the diner, as well as the fir incense. That's F-I-R, not F-U-R. I think the days when Mom would collect up all of the cast-off pet hair and knit a log for the fireplace are pretty much over, so people no longer associate the holidays with the smell of burning damp dog. At least not around these parts. So there's that, and there's also the rich aroma of backed-up sewage, because apparently somebody spent an hour flushing walnuts down the toilet. I have no idea what, but it's backed up, and there's a backhoe back there trying to get to the septic tank or the main line, and I don't know. So when you have those three competing aromas, it's amazing that people are in the mood that they are, which is good, which is great, which is smiling, which is a little bit tired, but festive. That's right, festive. I can just tell from looking around here that people have been shopping. Where, I have absolutely no idea. There's not a mall for 10 miles, 20 miles around here. But I can tell, because they've got that weary look of people who've been on their feet for a long time. They're sitting down, lighting up, having a cup of coffee, and next to them are bags. and bags with packages. And how are those packages wrapped? That's right, they're gaily wrapped. This is probably the sole remaining context in which you can use the word gay as it used to mean happy. Gaily wrapped packages. So everyone is probably in a mood to reconstitute themselves a little before they go home. I know I will. I love the diner, but I want to be with friends and family. No, not friends, just family. Hell with my friends. They got their own families. But I wanted to stop by and have a little piece of pie, just a sliver, and some of that great diner coffee, which has no peppermint or hazelnut in it this week. Thank you very much. I think I made my point last week by hissing a pitchy fit about using flavored coffee. And I'll pretend to drink the Jubal. And one year I actually sort of tried to, because they keep an eagle eye on you. Drink your Jubal. I tried to pour it on the floor and right through the linoleum. So I thought we'd stop by and take a look at some of the Christmas songs and maybe even a listen, because as you know, there's no more, the number of Christmas songs is almost incalculable. About five more stars in the firmament, counting all the other galaxies, than there are Christmas songs. Most of them bad. It all boils down to about 10 or 12, which have been covered over and over and over again. But who wants to sit and listen to bad Christmas music on Christmas Eve, right? Not me. No. No, and I'm sure that the fellow who stocks the jukebox or the person who is controlling the music from a remote location via fiber optics and Wi-Fi, still haven't figured that out, is going to give us the wonderful warm music of the season. Because, you know, to spend Christmas Eve gritting your teeth through a bunch of jangly songs like Jingle Bell Rock and Rock Around the Christmas Tree and even Here Comes Santa Claus by Louis Prima. I mean, I like Louis Prima, but Louis can't do Christmas songs for nothing. A lot of it just ain't there. It just isn't. And it's remarkable, really, that they ever put any of this stuff out. Because one listen tells you that this was done in July. And everybody was sweating. And there was nothing reindeer-esque about it. But we want to get to it because, you know, in a couple of days, Christmas music is going to be the last thing that you want to hear. Nothing slams to a close like Christmas. Nothing. Nothing slams to an absolute finish and is over. Just, man, over like Christmas. 26th, you wake up, you look at the tree, you get that little dead pang right under the sternum. It's over. You remember that from childhood when the 26th brought the end of the tree just looked so forlorn and empty beneath. It's not like your birthday. You know, your birthday's over, you go on. But Christmas, the world is not engaged and involved in your birthday, okay? You don't go to the mall and there's Birthday Man sitting there patting his lap saying, come over and tell me what you want for your birthday, Billy. Stores don't have Happy Birthday Billy signs. There's no Birthday Billy music on the radio. But for the last 5 weeks, we've been totally involved and engulfed and inflamed with Christmas. And then the fever pitch comes these wonderful days and then, man, it's over. But there are compensations. The 26th, of course, we can go back to the mall. Everybody, back to the mall now, because the deals will never be better. Now, you know, I thought that the deals would never be better on the 24th. They're telling you that's when the merchants are desperate. Man, they just want to move this stuff out. Comes the 26th. Turns out the prices actually can go lower. 85% off this shirt. You know, when you're paying $39 for a Van Huysen shirt, in the middle of the year, and at the end of the year, it's $4.20. You come to pretty much realize there's a hefty margin built in there. They probably buy them from 39 cents or so, and mark them up to $40, and then vary that price, playing with you, just absolutely making the price go up and down with like somebody manipulating his hands around a theremin pole. I hate that. I hate needing a shirt and going to the store and finding it's not a sale. Because it's a sale for shirts 51 weeks out of the year. You go there that 1 week, you need something, it's not on sale, and you just get angry. I'm not going to pay you this much money. But I got the feeling on the 26th, you could probably walk around with a Sharpie in the store and set your own prices, and they'd be happy. They just want to get this stuff out and get on to next year's crap load, to use the official term, of merchandise that America will be convinced it absolutely has to have. I know, I'm excited about it. Well, let's get to the jukebox and see what we got here. I'm just going to go straight to the top of our merry, festive, gaily prepared music and give us A1.
I was riding herd one night, all on a Christmas Eve, when I saw a spooky sight, one you never believe. All tuckered out and bone-tired, weary, Santa Claus came my way, dragging his reindeer across the prairie, hitched to a big red sleigh.
Santa got lost in Texas and didn't know how to leave. Santa got lost in Texas all on Christmas Eve.
Set right down and rest, I said, here by the campfire's glow. Share my coffee, beans, and bread, for you have to go. You're pretty dumb like me, he said, to work in the wintry frost. I'm pretty dumb like you, I said, but mister, I ain't lost.
Santa is an inbred hillbilly, Santa's as thick as can be. Santa's a stupid two-toothed hick, Santa's just like me, ha ha ha.
I've been riding long, says he, looking for just one guy. Texas is too big for me, too darn wide and high. I'm leaving you a big lone star and a pair of silver spurs. Here in a land of cattle farming, my last stop was yours.
That, believe it or not, was the was Bonanza Christmas. Michael Landon. Never really heard Santa described as stupid before, but it's the first time from everything. And he got lost in Texas like he's never been in Texas before. I think Santa's paid a few visits. All right, let's go down to the jukebox here and find out what else we have. Let's go to C2. Ah, the first Olé.
The hat I got for Christmas is too big.
I love Mel Blanc, but I can only take that Speedy Gonzales voice for so long, and that's about as much as I can do. Gotta be something else here. Let's go to, let's jump back to B1. Did I play B1 already? Okay, let's go to D1. Cheerful.
It was December the 25th, the year 1981, and the world was on the brink of a nuclear war.
My God.
The people were worried at the turn of world events. Like with Noah, they failed to turn to God, they refused to repent.
Yeah, it sounds like they're really working on the pipe out there. Getting through to the main sewer line. Boy, it can't be a fun job for Christmas. It's as bad as, you know, Christmas on the eve of a nuclear war or something like that, of course. But gotta feel bad for these guys. Wonder what's gonna happen when they finally break through to the sewer line.
To end hunger and defeat.
Yeah.
They couldn't bring peace and joy into the world. Now this Christmas was different from all the Christmas in the past. People wondered, when will Jesus come and how long this world will last? Could it be different? Could it be different?
Waitress, I think some of them have been overcome by fumes out there. Yeah, you wait. Got any smelling salts? Use the Jubal. Use the mold Jubal. Just go out there, soak a rag in some mold Jubal and just go put it under their noses. That'll wake them right up. Yeah. They've all been overcome by fumes. You know, if you're coming here for a hamburger or something like that, or just a little pick-me-up after a long day shopping, probably wouldn't want to see about 8 guys just splayed out unconscious, overcome by sewer fumes. Doesn't have anything to do with the quality of the food, of course. You know, you go to Perkins, what, their sewers are going to smell like roses? I don't think so. going on in this song at all? Let's check and see if we can make out old mumbly mouth Webley Webster and see what he's singing here.
Have you counted the cost for the life you chose to live? If you live right, you'll go to heaven. If you don't, you go to hell. Jesus Christ.
Oh, now don't go talking about hell at Christmas. This is the one week we don't get any of that stuff. Oh, you can talk about saved from, yes, as opposed to bound for, but come on. I mean, really. Oh, of course, there were those Puritan sorts who didn't like Christmas, and they thought its festiveness and its happiness and its caroling and revelry was just an excuse to be ungodly, and they were flat down on it. But no, the rest of us regard it as the antithesis of hell, frankly. And if you want to be some glowery Gus who sits in the corner and telling everybody they're going to hell because of their post-lapsarian condition with sin invested in us in the garden by Eve's action, go right ahead. You're just not going to get a lot of traffic for that these days. Anyway, he's...
Could this be different? Could this be the last Christmas? Oh,
oh, it certainly feels like it after that, doesn't it? Boy, you can just imagine the family sitting around after he'd played that one saying, "That's just a nice, nice job there, Stanley. That's a very, very, very nice song." Well, anyway...
I want to speak to you on this subject.
Yes.
Mister.
Will hell be your Santa Claus?
Yes.
Oh, come on.
Will hell be your Santa Claus?
Amen.
You are thinking that you're going to get a fine automobile.
Amen.
For your Santa Claus.
Amen.
But hell... may be your Santa Claus.
Oh, yes.
When I look and see men walking the street,
hey, excuse me,
with
guys.
Guns in their pockets.
Oh, yes. Hey.
Women with ice picks.
Yes.
In their hands.
Guys,
young men with dirt in their pockets.
Come on.
And sometimes in their hands. It tells me that hell will be your Santa Claus.
Yes, it will.
Shut up.
Please, no more fruitcake.
Couldn't have put it better myself, breathy white people. All right, you two, you heard us and them out. Sorry. Not going to stand here and lecture us about women with ice picks in their pocket. How can hell be a Santa Claus? That's just theologically inelegant, shall I say. You need to work on your metaphors, all right? Go outside. You see those guys out there who are sort of struggling to their feet? Over by that big pit? Yeah, go talk to them. They'll be really happy to hear your message. There you go. Go out there. Thanks. Fruitcakes. Yeah. Well, sorry. Didn't mean to be kind of rough with them, but I'm sorry. It's not like this isn't a day, season for sermonizing. It is, of course, but that just seemed to be the wrong approach to take. Come in here and start hectoring folks unannounced like that while they're trying to enjoy their pie and jubile. All right, well, let's see what else we have here. We've covered Santa Claus is stupid. We've covered the last Christmas on Earth because of a nuclear war. Let's see if... Well, we got Speedy Gonzales. We got... Hey, he's giving them the business out there now. They're just basically struggling to their senses after being overcome by fumes from the sewer, and they're dealing with this guy. Probably the most compliant audience you'll find around these parks for a while. Let's go to G1. Haunting strains of the pan flute, and of course, Little Drummer Boy. Not my favorite Christmas song, really, really isn't, and I'll tell you why. There's a... I don't know, it's like the bolero of Christmas, as I've said from time to time. It goes on and on and on and on. What mother wants to listen to somebody play the drums after they've just given birth? I'm sorry. Mary had tremendous patience, but I'm sure she asked him if he would, you know, either use his indoor drumming voice or perhaps go outside the stable. Anyway, let's see what else we got here. Let's go to M1. Oh, whatever could this be? I have no idea whatsoever.
Come, they told me, ba-rum-ba-bum-bum.
Who's this they? This affects you how, other than the continuation of the feudal system?
Our finest gifts we bring, ba-rum-ba-bum-bum.
Are they registered at Target?
To lay before the king, ba-rum-ba-bum-bum. Rum-ba-bum-bum, rum-ba-bum-bum.
Is this a verbal tick you add to the end of every sentence for reasons we can't discern?
No.
So apparently young kids are just accustomed to people showing up and saying, grab your drum, we're going off to the palace to meet the newborn king. Sure. Do I have time to brush my teeth? No, come on. Because at that point, you know, we're going to go see a newborn king. Who thinks we're going to a stable to meet, you know, the Prince of Peace, the King of Humanity, etc. in infant form? Nobody does. Anyway. Oh, great. There's no title on this one, but it's Bob Seger. Bob Seger rocks, man.
Come, they told me, pa-rum-ba-bum-bum. Our newborn king to see, pa-rum-ba-bum-bum. Our finest gifts we bring, pa-rum-ba-bum-bum, to set before.
Oh, Bob, I love you, but shut up, you two. You know what? This would be a great time for me to use the lab, so I'll be. Oh, except I can't, of course, because the drains aren't working because the sewer's out, so I guess I'm going to have to go round back at the diner in the snow. Merry Christmas. Merry, this is just turning out great. I'll be right back.
Let's play Santa Claus again, Ray, and Red, and give away another car.
Okay, here you go again, giving away the sponsor's profits.
Well, first we'll tell everyone how they can get in on the Raleigh Car Day contest. The prize, something everyone wants and needs, a brand new car. Yes, each and every day, a new Chevrolet is given away. That's 7 cars every week. And here's how you can win one.
Complete this sentence in 25 additional words or less. We should all buy victory bonds because...
Now, you know lots of good reasons, so send in your entries tonight. Mail them to Raleigh Cigarettes, Box 1200, Chicago, Illinois, with 2 complete wrappers from 2 packs of Raleigh cigarettes. You have plenty of chances to win because there's a new contest every day. Yes, winners are chosen from entries received each day.
Entries are judged on uniqueness, originality, and most convincing statement. Judge's decision final. Duplicate prices in case of prize. Entries become property of Raleigh Cigarettes. Contest limited to United States and members of the armed forces abroad.
Oh, details. Go ahead, tell us who won.
All right, the winner of December 22nd.
You're thinking that you're going to get a fine automobile.
The winner is Miss Patricia Folks of Park Merced, San Francisco, California.
He's riding on a bison sleigh. Did I hear that correctly? Well, it's Shona Knife. They probably think bison and reindeer are interchangeable, not their first language. Who's arguing? Who's complaining? Who's criticizing? Not me. They speak better English than I speak Japanese. But they're so kawaii. All right, my mood's a little better here. It's bracing outside. And the preacher duo seems to have left as well. So let's see what we got here in the jukebox. Let's go to P2.
By the shores of Ginchigumi came a song all Christmas tuney.
Come, they told me, our newborn king to see, our finest gifts we bring.
That's where they were hiding them.
To lay before the king.
You want to guys get over the other channel too?
This is to honor him.
Guessing Johnny didn't do the parumpa-pum-pums.
When we come.
Now, the Man of Black was a man of faith, but I think he probably had it in his contract he wasn't going to say parumpa-pum-pum. Hard to show your face at Folsom again after you've done parumpa-pum-pum. All right, let's jitter backwards in the jukebox here and see. We've got a J1. Nope, no sir. I'm getting to the point where I can spot the Little Drummer Boy about a million miles away. Let's go to another one here. I'm just going to stab this thing at random. No. Try this one. Huh. Why, it's a 1960s World War II soundtrack Christmas. Christmas with the Pattons. Ten hut. That's a kind of enunciation you only get with a castrato, I think. Okay, jukebox. If you can hear me there, man at the distant facility who's running these things, who I come to believe now does this solely to torture me on Christmas, which isn't very nice. I'm telling you, one more chance, and if it's the Little Drummer Boy, then we're done, you and me. Then it's war. Do you understand? I will find the means by which you are communicating with this jukebox, and I will hack it with my anonymous-like skills. It started playing itself. Like he heard me. What could this be?
I want a television Christmas, a world of magic all my own. I'll lead a life just like a queen and see strange lands I've never seen, and all before I'm 17, with television in our home. I want a television Christmas with all the glamour and the fun, with all the plays and stars I'll see, the whole world in the room with me. Oh, what a dream world it would be, a magic television Christmas. Television Christmas, a world of magic all my own. I'll lead a life just like a queen and see strange lands I've never seen, and all before I'm 17, with television in our home. I want a television Christmas with all the glamour and the fun, with all the plays and stars I'll see, the whole world in the room with me. Oh, what a dream world it would be, a magic television Christmas.
Excellent!
Well, that's certainly more like it. That puts me in the Christmas mood, the old sort of kitschy but still enjoyable but lovely and lush mid-century kind of stuff that I like. Because frankly, I'm going to go home and play all the serious Christmas music that I really, really like. And the reason I have to foist it on you, your taste may not be the same as mine. So I guess maybe we should end it there. That's a complete high note on which to go. Our friend, the hectoring street corner preaching duet, seems to have departed. But I'm looking out the window at the sewer workers and sort of having a dispute of sorts. Michelle, it appears the machinery, the big thing we're using to dig down, is broken. And from what it looks like, they've all got shovels, and they're digging in the hard ground on Christmas Eve. But they can't, it's like they're trying to coordinate, they're trying to get a rhythm going or something, but they can't quite do it. Two or three of them always fall out of sync, and then there's, the foreman is upbraiding them. I guess it's important for them to all dig in unison. I wish there's something I could do. I don't know what there is. Hey, guy in the sky who controls the jukebox of life. Anything you can do to give us something to help these sewer line repairmen work in rhythm on a Christmas Eve? I'll ask and you shall receive. This is the best Christmas sewer digging music ever! There and help him. What do you say, guys? The job will get done twice as fast if we all help. Come on. Put the spade into the ground and dig around the sewer pipe. If we all just work together, we can flush by the end of the night. Let's go! Everybody outside, let's go help. Wonderful, wonderful Christmas sight. Everybody's pitching in. Yep, the job will get done soon. Oh, I'm gonna have some coffee. Probably nobody complain if I have a cigar here. What? I should go out there and dig myself? Like they need another pair of hands? Like they need another supervisor? No, I'm sorry. Then again. Oh, come on, isn't it enough to tell other people what to do that's right? Doesn't mean I have to do it myself. What's important is knowing what's right and making an example of what's right by telling people what's right as opposed to actually doing it. And I should go out there and start digging, shouldn't I? It is, after all, Christmas. Hey, thanks for keeping me company at another Christmas at the diner. I appreciate it. My name is James Lilacs, and this has been the Diner for Friday, December 24th, Christmas Eve, 2010. We'll see you down the road.